To the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Book of Matthew, chapter 11. Read the first six verses. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had instructed and sent forth the 12 to the house of Israel. We are told in verse 1 of our text, that following the instructing and sending forth of the 12, that Jesus departed to teach and to preach in their cities. That is, in the cities of Galilee where the apostles had previously lived. We read in verse 2 of our text that John, that is, John the Baptist, had heard in prison the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples to ask Christ a question. And what we read in our text is something that transpired in the life of John the Baptist. And it should be something that is of great encouragement, something that should comfort God's people. It also serves as an exhortation to the Lord's people. So what we read here concerns John the Baptist. By way of background, John the Baptist, of course, was the one who had prepared the way of the Lord by preaching the message of God in the wilderness. And people came from all over to hear him preach, and it was a message of repentance. And he preached this message of repentance to the religious leaders of his day. He preached this to all the crowds that had gathered, which would include the tax collectors and the soldiers. And his message was, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people just came from all around the area to hear John the Baptist preach. And they, many of them, would fall on their knees in repentance before God and would be baptized by John. And the size of the crowds just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So much so that many people began to think that perhaps John was the Messiah. But John very clearly told them, he said, No, I'm not the Messiah. There's coming after me one who's more powerful than I am, and I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. One day, John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, There he is. There he is. There is the Lamb of God. He's the one I've been telling you about. He's the one that would come after me. So John had very faithfully preached Jesus Christ. And even after Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist continued to preach. We're told in John chapter 3 that the crowds now were getting smaller. And the reason was because people were going after Jesus. One day, some of John's disciples, they were a little upset by the fact that people were now following Jesus Christ. And they said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And that upset them. But John responded by saying, and we're paraphrasing, he said, I didn't come to compete with him. I came to prepare the way for him. And I'm glad what I did, and I'm even happier that the crowds are following him. For he must increase, and I must decrease. John was a very faithful man of God. He was a man of great courage. He was a man who was willing to call sin, sin, no matter who was committing it. And one day he preached against Herod for living in an adulterous relationship with his brother's wife, Herodias. The result was John was cast into prison. We read back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And in verse 2 of our text, we see now that John is still in prison. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, and it was then that he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was really the Messiah, if he was really the one the prophets had written of, the one that the prophets had spoken of, or should we be looking for someone else? I want to speak this morning on the subject of no need to look for another. No need to look for another. And I believe this is something, it appears to be very obvious. Well, of course, we don't have a need to look for another. But I believe it's something that we all forget. Because we do, many times, people do look for someone else other than the Lord. There's many things that we can learn here from the circumstances of John the Baptist. As a picture of our own lives. First of all, we see that John is in prison. Now think about that. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of a woman. That's what Jesus said. A great preacher. That's what Jesus said. A man who was bold, courageous, faithful to God. Yet we find John in prison. The one of whom Jesus said that he beareth witness of me. The one whom Jesus said he bare witness unto the truth. He is a burning and shining light. And here he is in Matthew 11 and verse 2, and he's in prison. Here is a man who had surrendered his life to the Lord. He had lived his life in the will of God, and he's in prison. In Bible days, of course, prisons were not what they are today. They were dingy. They were dark. They were rat infested. They were basically a rat infested hole in the ground. A dungeon. And there's John the Baptist, a man of God, a man who had seen Christ, a man who had been with Christ, a man who had experienced the power of Christ in his life. And there he is, in a cold, dark dungeon. We live in days of dungeons. There are dungeons everywhere. And many children of God find themselves in a dungeon of some sort. And we all experience from time to time some dungeon time, some prison time. There are the prisons and dungeons of health. There are the prisons and dungeons of financial problems. There are the prisons and dungeons of family problems. There are the prisons and dungeons of broken relationships, failing careers, disappointments. There are the prisons and dungeons of loss, the prisons and dungeons of heartache. And then there are the prisons and dungeons of our own making. But these prisons, these dungeons, they're empty places. And we all have to wrestle from time to time with the issues of emptiness. This is true physically, it's true emotionally, and it's even true spiritually. Dreams and goals can become empty. Feelings can become empty. Prayer can become empty. Bible reading can become empty. The worship of God can become empty. And when that happens, you find yourself in a prison. You find yourself in a dungeon. These prisons and dungeons are difficult places. They're very dry places. They're very unsatisfying places. They're very lonely places. And they are very isolated places. They are places that are very upsetting and very disturbing. These prisons and dungeons are places of sadness. They're places of dejection. And one can even become very pessimistic in a dungeon. You spend time in the prison. You spend time in a rat-infested hole in the ground. And you become pessimistic. And you become fearful. These prisons and dungeons can be places of helplessness, places of despair, and even places of hopelessness. These prisons and dungeons can also be places of wondering. Wondering about God. Questioning the Lord. Feeding unbelief. Feeding doubt. And John the Baptist is in one of these dungeons. And after a while, the hours became days. The days became weeks. And the weeks became months. And there he was. There he was in prison. And he's wondering here if Jesus is the Messiah. John was in circumstances that he did not plan for. He was in circumstances that he certainly did not expect. Again, John the Baptist, the greatest man born of a woman, a great preacher, bold and courageous, faithful to God, in prison. Do you think John planned to be in prison? Do you think John expected to one day find himself in a dungeon? I doubt it. This is really the end of the road for John the Baptist. He's living his final days. Living his final days in what seems like failure. In what seems like shame. Again, here's a man who lived his life for the Lord. The Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. He was surrendered at a very early age to be God's spokesman, to be the forerunner to the Messiah. He lived his life doing the will of God. And now he's spending his final days in prison. I often think about this. When you visit the faithful of God in the nursing home, spending their final days, not in the way that they had probably planned, not in the way that they had probably expected. The fact is, for John the Baptist, it's not going to get better on this earth. You won't read later that John was rescued from prison. You don't find that. There was no angel to release him like there was with Peter in the book of Acts. There was no earthquake to free him like with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. No, John will be beheaded at the hands of Herod. These are his last days on earth, and he's in prison. And can you imagine what might have gone through the mind of John the Baptist? What might have gone through the mind of John the Baptist concerning Christ? Why hasn't Jesus come? Why hasn't Jesus come and done something? Why hasn't he come and gotten me out of this prison? After all, he can raise the dead. Why doesn't he get me out of here? That's the way the human mind works many times. If Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why doesn't he come and clean up this mess? But there sits John in the prison, looking at the cold, damp walls. This is not what he expected. This is not what he planned. God's people often find themselves in places that they did not expect. They will find themselves in places that they did not plan for. They will find themselves in circumstances that they did not expect, and circumstances that they did not plan for. They will find themselves in situations that they did not plan. The truth is, you cannot plan your life. You can, but I got news for you. It's not going to work out as you plan. You may be faithful to the Lord. You may strive to serve Him in all that you do. Certainly this was true of John the Baptist. But that does not mean that things will always turn out the way you expected, in the way that you had hoped. You may raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but things may not turn out as you expected. Things may not turn out as you had hoped. You may be what you ought to be. You may do what you ought to do. But things still may not turn out as you expected, as you hoped for. You may make plans, and there may not be anything wrong with the plans that you make. But things do not always turn out according to your plan, according as you had hoped. You see, the victories and the mountaintops of today or yesterday may be short-lived. John the Baptist had many mountaintop experiences, but those may be short-lived. Now he's in prison. This is not what he had expected. This is not what he had hoped for. I don't believe John ever had a day where he thought, boy, I sure hope I get to sit in the dungeon someday. Never hoped to be there. But that's where he is. And there are going to be things that we do not understand. There are going to be things that perplex us. There are going to be things that we cannot fully explain. Things will not always add up in our minds. And you may even become cynical. And you may become doubtful. And you say, oh, not me. I'll never become cynical and I'll never doubt God. Oh, don't be so foolish. Don't be so foolish. Know your heart. But God's ways do not always fit like we think they will. God's ways do not always fit like we thought they would. And John is now in prison. But there are some encouraging news while John was in prison. The walls of that dungeon could not shut out the news of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. While John was in that prison, surrounded by the walls of that dungeon, even there he heard about what Christ was doing. If you find yourself in a dungeon, if you find yourself in a prison, listen. Always be listening for word about Christ. The prison walls cannot shut out the message of Jesus Christ. No matter how dreary the prison, no matter how dark and lonely the prison, listen for the message about Christ. Don't turn away that message. John's in prison. And he hears. John then inquired of and about Christ while in prison. It says that somehow he got word to two of his disciples to inquire of Christ. And when you are wondering and questions are arising in your minds, and you have doubts, inquire of Christ. You don't need to take an opinion poll. You don't need to find out what everybody else thinks. Inquire of Christ. Seek Christ. Even while in prison. Because if you seek the advice, and you seek the opinions of everyone else, that will not make your prison any better. It might make it worse. But you seek Christ. He sent and he inquired of Christ. The result is that Jesus sent John a message of revelation. We read in verse 4, well, notice in verse 3, the two disciples said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Those are somewhat troubling words. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go and show John. Notice verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus is saying, you go and you show John that I am the one, and there is no need to seek another. I am He. I am the one. And when you find yourself in a dungeon, no matter how dark, no matter how dreary, no matter how dry, no matter how difficult, no matter how upsetting and disturbing, and no matter how lonely and isolated, you do not have to look for another. You don't have to look anywhere else but Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you go and you show John, I am the one. John, there's no need to look for another. He is everything that the Word of God declares Him to be. He is everything that He has declared Himself to be. He is everything that He ever was. And whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, you don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to do that. And you're wasting your time if you do. He is everything you need. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Creator. He is the sustainer of all. He is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and in earth. You don't have to look anywhere else. He's the fullness of God. He's the fullness of God. He is the possessor of everything. It would be foolish to look anywhere else. He is the one who is the brightness of His Father's glory. He is the sovereign Lord of all. He is the one who governs all. People say all the time, well, the Lord's in control, as they go look for another. It's one thing to say the Lord's in control, it's another thing to believe it. And there aren't many to believe it. But when you believe that He governs all, there's no need to go anywhere else. There's no need to try and fix anything. He governs it all. He is the one who is the mighty conqueror of His foes. He is the one who has overcome the world and death and the grave. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome all principalities and powers. He is the one who sits at the right hand of God, of the majesty on high, victorious. He is the one. John, there's no need to look anywhere else. He's the one. That was the message to John. That is also the message to you and I. He is still greater than any problem you have. He is still greater than any difficulty you experience. He is still greater and bigger than any trial, than any need that you might have to face. He is still greater than any so-called impossibility. He is still greater than any infirmity. He is still greater than any condition, than any circumstance, than any situation. He is the one. You do not need to look for another. He has everything you need. No matter what dungeon you find yourself in, He has everything you need right now. He has everything you'll need tomorrow also. There's no need. There is no need to look anywhere else. He is the one who can make a difference. He is the one, and outside of Him, there is spiritual death, there is nothing. Why look for another? Remember the Lord's words to the women at the tomb. Why look ye for the living amongst the dead? Why do God's people search through all the rubbish of the world to try to find answers? Why? The answers aren't in the rubbish. The answers are in Christ. Seek Him. Seek Him. No matter what prison you might find yourself in, wherever you are in your life, whatever your circumstances or your situation, whatever your condition, whatever you need, He's the one. There's no need. There's no need to look anywhere else. Then notice the Lord pronounces a blessing. Jesus sends word to John. He said to these disciples, and they were to report back to John, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." You tell John, blessed is the man. The word blessed speaks of joy. Speaks more than joy, though. It speaks of peace. It speaks of assurance. People can have an outward display of joy without having an inward peace, without having an inward assurance. This is joy, peace, and assurance. It doesn't get any better than this. Blessed is the man. It has reference to a state of mind. Keep in mind, John's in prison. It has reference to an inner condition. It's an inward joy, an inward happiness, an inward pleasure, an inward satisfaction, an inward delight. It is something that only God can do for an individual. You can't work up peace in your heart. That's a gift of God. There's a joy that is independent of all circumstances, of life itself. It really is spiritual prosperity. So even in the dungeon, spiritual prosperity can be experienced. But notice there's a condition for the blessing. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. To be offended is to have resentment or anger. Blessed is the man who does not get upset by the way God runs his business. John's in prison. Here's a man that has served God all his life. Is this how it's to end? Yes, if that's the way God wants it to be. Blessed is the man who does not get offended. Does not get upset by the way God runs his business. You may think that God's people do not get angry or resent God. Nothing could be further from the truth. There are a lot of God's people, they would never admit it, but it's true. They're angry with God. They resent the way God does his business or the way God has done his business in their life. The blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Blessed is that man who can be left in prison and can be silenced in his testimony and can seemingly be deserted of the Lord. That was the condition of John. And can shut out every doubt and can be firmly settled in his convictions. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. That individual will have joy. That individual will have peace and assurance. If the only time you can have joy is when circumstances are going well, how does that make you different than any lost sinner on this earth? It doesn't. If that's the only time you can have peace and assurance, how is that different than any lost sinner? How is that different than the wicked and the ungodly? It's not. When a Paul and Silas can sing in prison, that's of the Lord. Blessed is the man who can continue to trust, who can continue to praise the Lord, even when in a dungeon. There's no need. There's no need for you and I to look anywhere else. In fact, when you go down that road looking for answers outside of this book, looking for answers outside of the Lord, when you go down that road, it's filled with dead ends. And it will put you in prison. It will put you in a dungeon. But when you can just know and believe, He's the one. I don't know what He's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this, He's the one. And I don't need another. There's no need for me to look for another. He's the one. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. Rejoice in Him. Even when all you can see is the dark and dreary walls of some dungeon, know and believe that He is the one. And there's no need to look for any other. We'll close if you turn to the book of John, chapter 6, verses 67 through 69. We see that many of those who professed to be disciples because of what Jesus taught went back and walked no more with Him. Verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? If you decide to seek another, who are you going to go to? He has what you need. There's no need to look for another. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that there is one who has everything I need. We are never, ever, ever to forget that. He is the one. There is no need to seek another. You see it all the time. People get problems come into their lives. And they begin to use carnal means to solve their problems, and all they're doing is digging the hole deeper. That's all they're doing. Digging it deeper and deeper and deeper. And then they have the audacity, when it does not work, to get mad at God. But if they would have turned to God in the beginning, they wouldn't be as deep in the dungeon as they are. There's no need to look for another. Look to Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come.